So I'm going to talk a little bit about prayers and decrees. So I kind of want to explain the difference in talking with mom. A lot of people don't, I'm not saying that anybody here does, but a lot of people don't understand what a decree is. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of history on it. And my prayer for this is that this is a God-given right. It's a God-given authority that you have to use. It's a weapon we use when things are coming against us. So as God's prayer army, his ecclesia, throughout the world, we are seeing and facing great challenges. We must never strive to adopt an elitist mindset, meaning we can't ourselves. God has called us to be humble people. The more humble we are, the more he can work through us, because we aren't trying to be high and mighty in this world. Okay, that's for the next round. We will be high and mighty. But here we have to remain humbled. So it doesn't matter what you look like, who you're prettier than, who you make more money than, who you've got a bigger house than, more vehicles. None of that matters. And if you ever feel yourself getting that way, or even thinking it to yourself quietly, you need to start catching that and instantly take a step back and ask for forgiveness. But what you do need to know is that God has created an element, a very special element. And when you think of an element, for example, think of the number we have here at Faith Chapel today. In comparison to over 8 billion people in the world, we are an element. So it's very humbling when you think about this special group to be a part of the ecclesia, such a small element with such a big impact and such a vast. We are chosen. He chose us. Of all, he chose us and he has stayed with us. That is huge. When you are a part of this element, you have to understand that, and it is true, we can prove it in the word, that God sometimes uses the smaller segment of the body of Christ to accomplish things for the majority. If you look throughout the word, you will see that when darkness seems to be at its peak, God often doesn't look for a massive polished army. He looks for a remnant, a small consecrated group of people who refuse to bow their knee to the spirit of the age and the ways of the world. In the economy of the kingdom, God is never intimidated by numbers. In fact, he sometimes prefers the smaller number. Think about Gideon. This is Judges 6 through 8. If you've never read the story of Gideon, I highly recommend you do that. Gideon formed an army of 32,000 men, but God whittled that number down to 300 men. Why? Because the heart of a remnant is much more valuable to God than the size of the army. I'll give you a recap on Gideon's story. The Israelites had turned away from God, doing evil in his sight, which led to 7 years of oppression, and the Midianites and Amalekites and other eastern peoples. These enemies devastated Israel's crops, livestock, forcing the Israelites to hide in mountains and caves, leaving them impoverished and desperate. In response to their cries, God sent a prophet to remind them of his past deliverances and rebuke their disobedience. Gideon was a very humble man. He was threshing wheat in a wine press to hide it from the Midianites, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, calling him a mighty man of valor and commissioning him to save Israel. But Gideon expressed doubt and asked for signs to confirm God's call on his life, demonstrating his initial reluctance and need for reassurance. But Gideon ended up obeying God and destroyed the altars of Baal and the Asherah pole, despite opposition from his townspeople, showing his growing faith and commitment to God. God tested Gideon's faith again through the famous fleece signs. What that was Gideon laid dry fleece on a dry ground. And he said, God, if this is what I'm supposed to do, if I'm going to accomplish this mission, I want to see that fleece wet while the ground stays dry. Well, next morning that happened. So then he did it again. He put the fleece on wet ground. He goes, I want to see that fleece dry. He was not testing God. This was his way of getting reassurance that, okay, I've got a creative army of over 30,000 men and take Israel back. Well, the signs worked. So on forth Gideon went. Gideon assembled an army of 32,000 men, but God instructed him to reduce it to just 300 to demonstrate that victory would only come by divine power and not by human strength. This small force was strategically positioned and equipped with trumpets, torches, and jars to create confusion among the Midianites. Gideon's 300 men executed a surprise attack at night, blowing trumpets, breaking jars to reveal torches, causing panics, and fighting among the Mennonite army themselves. God's intervention led to a decisive victory, with the Midianite leaders Orb and Zeb captured and executed. Following that battle, Gideon pursued the remaining Midianite forces, defeating them all and securing peace for Israel. The remnant strategy. Historically, a remnant at times has been God's plan A. Noah and his family were a remnant that preserved the human race. Elijah felt alone, but God reminded him that there was a remnant of 7,000 who had not bowed to Baal. The church, the early church, began as a small upper room remnant that eventually turned the world upside down. The remnant often functions as a spiritual seed. You don't need a whole force to start a new season, but you just need a few seeds that are willing to die to their own agendas and wants so that the life of God can spring forth. In America, we are specifically seeing a Gideon moment. God has called a remnant to rise up and take their place on the wall as watchmen. This isn't about being part of a special club. It's about a deep commitment to God to see God's purpose established on this earth. This group is characterized by Holy Spirit tenacity. They don't give up when the culture shifts. They dig in their heels and they appeal to the supreme judge of the universe. When the remnant prays, they aren't just tossing bless me prayers up towards the ceiling. They are releasing the decrees of heaven and using the keys of the kingdom to bind and to loose. The small, focused group becomes God's strike force. They are the strike force in the spirit. So a decree is an official order, Webster's definition, an official order issued by legal authority. His word states he has given us dominion and authority over the earth. So that means by our God-given rights, we have his legal authority in us. Prayer is our petitions, our communications, and fellowship with God. Decrees are God's words released through our voices into the earth realm and bring change and breakthrough. Decrees are powerful declaration of God's will that shapes the course of history and individual lives. They are not merely suggestions, but divine mandates that carry significant weight and authority, rooted in God's word and inspired by Holy Spirit. On January 19th, 2025, a small group of us stayed after church and prayed over our nation, over our president, over the presidential teams in place. We made heavenly decrees. We weren't coming together just praying. We were coming together and we were decreeing God's word over the president and over our nation. We didn't just throw prayers up and hope for the best. We took sledgehammers to strongholds that day. We felt it, we knew it, and it was amazing. Don't miss those opportunities. If you are invited somewhere, if someone suggests something, you're always going to be busy. Your to-do lists here on earth are never going to end. But when you miss those opportunities, you miss the face of God. You still the face of God. And guess what? Once you're done seeing God, you go right back out that door and pick up on your to-do list, your busyness, right? But don't miss those opportunities. When somebody specifically reaches out to you and invites you to do something, you better do it. I hope you do it. You should do it. God has been rising up a people who were ecclesia-minded, those who understand their legislative authority in the Spirit. The remnant stands in the gap for a nation, for loved ones, for health, and for praying for others and themselves. They are anchoring a family, loved ones, a nation, a group of people back to their God-given intent. When we are living in a day when the remnant is being mobilized, if you feel like you're a lone voice in your family, in your workplace, among your friends, among your peers, don't be discouraged. You are a part of God's hidden reserve. He's about to use the small thing to confound the mighty. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The appeal to heaven flag is America's founders believed so much in the power of prayer that they commissioned that flag to fly throughout the nation during the War of Independence. As a reminder to themselves and to every countryman that they appealed to heaven. They appealed to God first. And they believed that God answered their prayers, giving them ultimate victory. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon is credited as saying, "Prayer moves the hand that moves the world." My purpose today is to simply remind you of this and to encourage you that your prayers and decrees are making a difference. Nations are being impacted, lives are changing, and eternal destinies are being shaped because you have been praying and you have been decreeing. Our appeals to heaven bring revival, release healing, and produce breakthroughs. Strongholds come down when we pray and we decree. Here are some thoughts or some questions I know personally I have been that people may ask you. Doesn't he need us to ask and decree for his kingdom to come and his will be done? That's Matthew 6:10. But surely he wouldn't want us to waste our time asking for something that was going to happen anyway, would he? Didn't he tell us to ask for our daily bread? And yet he knows our needs before we even ask? Didn't he tell us to ask that laborers be sent to the harvest? That's Matthew 9:38. But doesn't the Lord want a bigger harvest than what we want? So why would we need to do that? Didn't Paul say, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified? 2 Thessalonians 3:1. But wasn't God already planning to do that? Why do we need to ask? Are these things not God's will? Then why are we supposed to ask him for something he already wants to do if that's not us asking him to release it? I know that's a lot, but it's all these things. If he knows everything from beginning to end, what's our purpose in asking? Why are we praying for certain things? I'm getting ready to tell you why. E.M. Bounds said, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better off the world will be. The mightier the forces against evil. The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock of heaven, by which God carries out his great work upon this earth. God conditions the very life and prosperity of his cause based on prayer. Though God is sovereign and all-powerful, Scripture clearly tells us that he limited himself concerning the affairs of the earth to work through human beings. Paul E. Billimer said, and this is based off the story of Daniel, Daniel evidently realized that intercession had a part to play in bringing the prophecy to pass. God has made the prophecy. when it was time for its fulfillment, he did not fulfill it arbitrarily outside of his program of prayer. He sought for a man upon whose heart he could lay the burden of intercession. As always, God made a decision in heaven. A man was called upon to enforce the decision on earth through intercession and faith. The late C. Peter Wagner agreed with this and stated, "We must understand that our sovereign God has, for his own reasons, so designed this world that much of what is truly his will, he makes contingent on our actions and attitudes. He allows human beings to make decisions that can influence history." Remember, when we are praying and making decrees, we aren't trying to convince God to do something. We are releasing his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you decree, you are moving from petition only to godly governmental decrees. Keep standing in that authority. God doesn't need a big crowd to shift an atmosphere. He just needs hearts that refuse to back down. A remnant is often the hinge that turns the door of history. Remember, you are not just a person with a prayer. You are a godly legislator with a mandate. Your voice is the instrument that releases the sound of heaven into your earthly circumstances. Ephesians 2:6. So these are some decrees, some parts of scriptures that I'll give you to back all this up. "I take my seat in heavenly places as a member of God's ecclesia." Esther 4:14. "I recognize that I am not an observer. I am a legal representative of the kingdom of God, called for such a time as this. I bind and forbid every strategy of the enemy." This is Revelation 12:11. "I bind and forbid every strategy of the enemy intended to cause delay, division, or distraction. I command the squatter's rights of the enemy over my territory to be evicted by the blood of the Lamb. I loose and permit the plans of heaven to manifest. I call for divine recovery of everything the enemy has stolen from me. I decree that hidden reserves of God are being activated right now. I declare that I am a part of a Gideon company. Though we may be few, we are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That's 2 Corinthians 10:4. "I align my heart with the remnant to release a sound of victory that shifts the atmosphere in my life, my family's life, my job, my company, our nation." You have to maintain your position. You have to stand in the gap, not just for yourself, but for a nation, for your family, for your job. One of the hardest things to do about standing in the gap is sometimes we're called to pray for people we don't want to pray. That's the reason they call it bridge in the gap. That's why you stand in the gap. It's not about you or who you like. It's about God and his kingdom and what we are called to do. The Lord will do that through people who simply refuse to quit. You have a God-given opportunity to be a part of God's ultimate strike force. Never forget that appeals to heaven will change the earth. Everybody good? All right. That's it.